That we're each one thankful that God has one more time afforded us the privilege of assembling together this morning. And I ask that you pray for me for a little while as I try to speak to you today. I realize you got to remember that I have preached to the Lord's people for 40 years, longer than a lot of you are old here. If I could relate one little experience I had not long ago, I told my wife, I said, I got to feeling sorry for myself, I guess, having a little pity party. I told her, I said, it might be time for me to just quit and turn that over to somebody else. I said, I've done that for 40 years. She said, but remember one thing. In the 40 years that you've preached, the half has not yet been told. So I hope that we are blessed with the Spirit of God. And along with that thought, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9, he said, The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that with wisdom, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now I tell you that to tell you this. That in that 40 years, it's still the gospel is not new. But it ought to be new to our ears every time that we have the opportunity to hear it. And regardless of whether or not that I have preached it before, if it was the truth then, it's the truth now. And I believe the truth is what will stand when everything else is gone. When everything else falls, I believe the truth will stand. I can remember my father in trying to raise us rugrats, I'll call us. He used to try to insist on telling in us that he said, "Now I'll go along with you as to the end of the earth, as long as you're telling me the truth." But he said, "When it gets to the point where you're not telling me the truth, it's going to be Katie bar the door." Because I believe the truth will stand when everything else falls. With that, I'm going to call your attention then to a text of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you today that in the 40 years that I've tried to preach to the Lord's people, I look at things, I study things, I read, and I'll come across things sometimes that I have never noticed before. And that's not strange, because I believe that there is things that I don't care how many times. I've had occasion to read through the Scripture 15 times myself. And working on it, and hope to read it 15 more times. I'll be honest with you, but I'll find myself in reading and in studying, and say to myself, "Why haven't I noticed that before?" So, with that, I'm going to call your attention to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Now, there's something in Genesis chapter 22. You got to remember one thing, that all of the Old Testament points toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the New Testament verifies the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. So all over the New Testament, it points toward the coming of Jesus Christ. It predicts his coming. The prophecies predict his coming. The book of Genesis predicts he's coming. The book of Exodus predicts he's coming. And I name them on and on. All right, so in Genesis chapter 22, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now, I want to stop here for just a minute and reiterate the fact that here's something that one day I was reading and noticed and hadn't ever noticed that before. But it's strange to me whenever that I do that, and I'll find these little things. Notice that he said, "Behold, here I am." Now, I told you a while ago that the Old Testament points toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also believe that Jesus Christ can be found in the Old Testament as well. And I believe right here in that text of Scripture is one of those places that he can be found. He said, "Behold, here I am." Now we move into the New Testament, and we're going to ask ourselves, how many times does the Lord Jesus Christ refer to himself as being I am? He says that in his own language. He says, I believe it's in John chapter 11. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, it says, "Behold, before Abraham was, I am." He says, "I'm the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." So he refers to himself as being I am. Notice that Abraham in this text of Scripture says, "Behold, here I am." Now the interesting thing about that is, the rest of the time that phrase comes up in this text of Scripture, it's turned around. It'll say, "Here am I." So I believe in Genesis chapter 22, in this first verse, is a prediction or a prophesying or of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now notice that he says, we're going to try to, if you will, be patient just a little while, and we're going to go through, the Lord being my helper, we're going to go through some of these verses and try to find the prediction of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, notice that he refers to himself in that text of scripture, whom, behold, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 16, and you're going to find the text of scripture there that the religious world today, and I don't know any other way of putting it, it's misused and abused by the religious world. And that text is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now do you see how this compares to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2? He says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now look at what he said back over there in the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now in this world that he loved, you know, you're going to shock some people today and any other day whenever you tell folks that God does not love everybody. Back when I was working, employed by the I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm going to have to find me a job. You about to work me to death in this yard doing stuff like that. So back when I was employed, our secretary one day, I told her this. She got to talking about the love of God. And I told her, I said, I don't believe God loves everybody. She got so upset about that and so sick about that till she had to go home. But he doesn't. But notice that in this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you see in this text of scripture the two that tie together? He said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, also, you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 18, and you're going to see something refer to that again. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 18, he says this. In John chapter 1 verse 18 it says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now you got to remember something. And looking at this and studying this, there is a continual theme of the scripture. There's continuity in the scripture. Where it teaches one place, what it teaches one place, it's going to also teach another place. So notice that he gave that term right there, the only begotten Son, thine only begotten Son. So, and then again in the book of 1 John 4:9, I think we're going to find that phrase again in the Gospel of 1 John 4:9, and it says, and this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have life through him. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. See that? We've got in this phrase in the book of Genesis, we've got in this phrase, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. So I believe in this text of scripture, I believe that this text of scripture is a prediction, a prophesy, if you will, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, that get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now let's look at the next word in that that comes to mind. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there. Now, I want to make something very clear to you today. I don't believe anywhere you're going to find, if you study the scripture from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, you're not going to find where the Lord Jesus Christ was ever offered to the world. He just was not. For God so, get back to the text we've already quoted, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm going to tell you today where the offering was. In the book of Hebrews, you're going to find that he by one offering, he forever perfected those that are sanctified. So I believe the offering was not to humanity. The offering that he made, it was not to us. It was given to us. But the offering that was made was the offering that was made back to the Father. And I'm going to give you another term right here that I believe today that the world uses and misuses, if you'll let me say that. I don't believe you. Somebody's going to have to show me. They're going to have to prove to me in black and white where it's necessary for you or I to accept Jesus Christ as my as personal Savior. You know, I was born. I'm not going to. I was born September the 16th. I won't tell you the year. I'll let you guess that. I was born September the 16th to Troy C. Hayes and Ruth Carlock. My mother's name was Carlock. Now, suppose that they were still living today, and I decided all of a sudden that after him feeding me and clothing me and getting on to me a few times in my life, that I walk up to him and say, I've decided something today that I'm going to accept you as being my parents. They'd probably ask me where I'd been. You see how that is? But I believe there is an acceptance of Jesus Christ. But the acceptance is not made by you and I. The acceptance is made by the Father. And I believe that he was offered and that acceptance was made. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Mount Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, in verse 3, he says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now let's look at that text of scripture and see, can we not see Jesus Christ and the finished work of Jesus Christ and the work period of Jesus Christ in that? Notice that he says in this text of scripture, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse number 1. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now notice what he says in that text of scripture. He says, I'm going to go, but I'm coming back. I'm going to come again. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I submit to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he finished the work that the Father gave him to do, whenever he entered into heaven, back to heaven, the day is coming whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again to receive every one of those that are his unto himself, that where he is, there they may be also. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to be foolish enough to stand here and predict to you and try to tell you the day that he's coming, because I don't know. I've got a book, and I've made this comparison several times, and it still seems to fit today. I've got a little office there in the house, and it gets a little messy sometimes, but I believe I can find anything in there that I'm looking for if I look long enough. But I've got this book that says on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man said that he predicted. He said he can tell us the day, he can tell us the time, he can tell us the hour that he's coming. I've read his book and he still hadn't told me when he's coming. You know why? Because he don't know. That's only known to God the Father whenever he's coming back. But the scripture says he's going to come as a thief in the night. But here's the point, that regardless of when it is, and regardless of what day it is, I believe that he's coming back to receive every one of those that are his, every one of those that he's died for, every one of those that he's redeemed, every one of those that he's justified. He's going to call them, he's going to call, come forth one of these days, and they're going to come with him. I've used this illustration several times. Elder Wayne Peters, when we buried his dad in the Anderson Cemetery, I walked up to that. I used to work at that. And I walked up to his grave that day, and there was something on, I could look at, there was something that I could not put my finger on that wasn't right. And I got to looking, and they had buried him the wrong way. You're supposed to bury them, you know, with their head to the west so they can see the coming of the Lord from the east. I was so troubled about that thing, I went to Brother Wayne the next Sunday and I said, you and I need to talk. And I said, you know, it's worried me. I said, they've buried your daddy the wrong way. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being redeemed? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being a child of God? And I said, no. He said, do you think it's going to keep him from coming out of there whenever the Lord comes? And I said, no. He said, do you think we need to be having this conversation? And I said, no. So I just turned around and left. You see, here's the point with that whole thing is that regardless of where they are, I believe the Lord's coming back after every one of them that he's redeemed, that he's justified, that he's glorified. Now notice, in that text of scripture, that word glorified is in the past tense as if it's already happened. You're not going to see many glorified people in this. It's not going to happen. My hair is turning gray. It's turning loose. I'm getting to the point where I can't do as much as I used to. None of us are glorified, but I'll tell you this, that in the mind and the purpose of God, it's just as good as already done. It's just as good as already done. So he said, and Abraham said to his young man, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Does not that indicate that the Lord is coming back one of these days? And I got some news for you. I passed by a place right there in Ringo, Georgia. Then there's a sign that says this, that the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? I got some news for you people today. I'm as ready as I'm going to be if I'm bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, If I rest in His finished work, if when He comes back again, if He's not gonna lose a one, and He said in Matthew, I believe it is chapter 6, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. That if He's not going to lose any, that if He's got everyone that He's bought, everyone that He's redeemed, everyone that He's justified, I believe they're going to be held. They're held with Him today in His hand. And Abraham said unto his men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And now verse 6. And it says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now I want you to notice something in this text of scripture. Something that sometimes, and I'd read it and read it and read it and read it, all of a sudden it jumped out of me. It didn't say what I was trying to make it say. Now notice this. It says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. Notice right here that Isaac wasn't laid on the wood. The wood was laid on Isaac. Now I believe in this text of scripture, that wood, if you will, allow me to say this, that wood is a representation of the sins of the Lord's people. Because they were laid, the sins of the Lord's people were laid on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't lay on them. They were laid on Jesus Christ. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here, notice, he said, here am I. See, in that text of scripture, the I am is turned around to here am I. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now, right here in that text of scripture, right there, it's, I guess we could say this, that it's beginning to get time for Isaac to start asking questions. When he didn't see a lamb, when the wood was placed on him, and he began to ask this question, he said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I believe today where the lamb for the offering is one of the things that John the Baptist, when he taught round about the Jordan River, when he was baptizing around about Jordan River, there the Lord Jesus Christ was standing among them. Now, it's important right here to notice that there was no feature about him that was outstanding. There's no feature about him that would glow. There was no feature about him that could be recognized by the crowd. But he said, behold, and this is what he said. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, in this text of scripture, it mentions that. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I'm telling you where the lamb is today. The lamb is Jesus Christ himself. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, in verse number 8, and he said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now I want you to notice something in that text of scripture. For years I was reading that to say something that it don't say. I was trying to read that to suit myself, I guess, to make something fit. And here's the thing, I don't have to make it fit. It already fits. What I've got to do is rightly divide what is given to me. That's why the Apostle Paul said, to study, to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he said in this, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, what I was trying to do in that, as I said, I was trying to read something that's not there. I was trying to read it like this. It don't say that. That God will himself provide an offering. It don't say that. It says that God will provide himself. Do you know that's what in the crucifixion, in the payment for our sin, finished work of Jesus Christ, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ was. That's what God did. He provided himself. Because you go to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, and he says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you go on to verse number 14, and it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what Moses, the writer of the book of Genesis, is saying right here, he's saying that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So that's exactly what happened in the crucifixion. That's exactly what happened in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's exactly what God the Father did when he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that the world through him might have life. That's exactly what he did. He provided himself an offering. All right. And he said, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, hear my father, and said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and wood, but where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the offering. So they went both of them together. And now notice what he says next. Then he said, but where is the, he said, and God, and they went both of them together. You go to John chapter, the first epistle of John chapter 5 and verse 7, you're going to find this being said. It says that there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, what's that telling us today? That's telling us that they're together. That there's one. Now, I submit to you today, and I've thought about this. I don't know that there's a thing, and here's where we get in trouble. Whenever we try to find something out there in nature to compare the Godhead to, we're getting in deep. I don't know that exactly can be done, but I've thought about it over the years, and I'm going to be bold this morning and say something. I believe today there's an element out there that it can be compared to, and that is water. You think about that. You think about that. In one form, when water freezes into ice, it's still water. Whenever it turns to liquid, it's still water. Whenever it turns to steam or boils into condensation, it's still water. And I believe today that that's the way the Godhead is, that if God is God the Father, He's still God, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's still God, and in God the Holy Spirit, He's still God. And I believe today that each one of those has their part to do. I believe God the Father chose the people to be His before the foundation of the world. He did that. He chose every one of them that are His. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. And I don't have to spend my time wondering who's a child of God and who's not. That's already fixed. That's already taken care of. I don't have to spend my time worrying about whether or not who's redeemed and who's not, whether my neighbors are fixed or not. That's already taken care of. And I believe today that if we feel and we pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst today, and if we're today going to be able to feel the Spirit feel God with us, it's going to be by His Spirit. Now, don't you go away from here today saying that that preacher said something that he didn't say. I still believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in body. He's going to do that one of these days. I don't know when, but He's still coming in body. But it says in this text of Scripture, and they went both of them together. Now, in verse 7, he says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay him. My wife and I have only got one child. And it's hard for me to believe that he's as old as he is. I lost him one time when he was in my care. I couldn't find him. I'd go to the yard and I'd call him. He wouldn't come. I went to the neighbors. Have you seen Tommy? Hadn't seen him. There were some people there working, and they even stopped, and we walked up and down the highway trying to find him. That was as sick, I think, as I have ever been, because I couldn't find him. I don't know where he was. We had a little outbuilding that back. We're still living in South Georgia at this time. We had a little outbuilding out back. And I done made up my mind, if I ever found him, he was going to be in serious trouble. Well, he come crawling out from that outbuilding after a while, and I was so glad to see him. He didn't get in any trouble. But here's the thing, and the reason I say that we ought to look for and long for and wait for the coming of the Son. He says in this, and my son, God will provide himself an offering. And they went to the place which God told him of. Built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And Isaac said, Isaac his son, and laid him to the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I don't know that I'd have the nerve today to do that to my... I don't know that my faith would be strong enough to do that. But I believe Abraham's was. And I believe that he knew that God was going to provide. And if I can believe, keep that regardless of what I might get into in this life. When we get caught up out there in the world, we get this things that are exposed, we're exposed to, that we don't like, that we don't want to have anything to do with. We got to remember that God is still on his throne. That he still rules and reigns today. And I believe that we'd have faith enough to know and realize that God is going to provide. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Notice that. That the next verse, those every time after that first verse, that he refers to himself and says that, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I do not believe in chance. I don't believe in it. I've heard people say, well, we sure were lucky. That word ought to be taken out of the English language. Because if we say anything, we're blessed of God. We're blessed of God to be here today. We're blessed of God to receive His grace. We're blessed of God to even know Him and know His power and to know His finished work and to know who He is. And I believe in this text of Scripture that it comes out. And lifted up his eyes, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. I don't believe that ram got there by chance. I don't believe that it just happened to be there. Because I believe it. If we can remember that God's going to provide. Now, there's some things that in it that we're to do for ourselves. But we've also got to remember that God's going to provide. I believe that he hath delivered in the past. I believe he doth deliver for today. And I believe he's going to deliver in the future. But it said, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, what does that text right there tells us? That Isaac did not have to pay the price. Isaac didn't have to do that. He didn't have to be offered. He didn't have to be burnt. He didn't have to be that. Something else took place. The lamb came in his stead. The lamb came in his room. Now, is this not what Jesus Christ has done for his people? And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, there's some things today I believe that we hope for. There's some things today that can be seen. There's some things today that we long for and that we wait for. We long for and wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for and be able to be like Job said in Job chapter 19 and verse 25, when he said, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him and not another. I believe we're going to be able to view him and see him with these eyes. But Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Is that not what Jesus Christ came into this world to do? And is it not a finished work that you and I can rest in. Is it not that the work is complete? The work of God is complete, that it don't have to be added to, and we for sure cannot take from it. On the other hand, we've also got to look at it like this. After this work is done, after the work of Jesus Christ is completed, there's also things for you and I to do in His kingdom. There's also things for you and I to do in His service. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12. It says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." I believe there's things today for us as the Lord's people to do because God has worked in us. Now, also remember that if we have the desire to follow Jesus Christ, if we have the desire to be a part of His kingdom, if we have the desire to seek after God, God has already provided the offering for us. You know, there's some things in that. And notice back over here in the text of Scripture, and one of these verses, "And he clave to the wood, the burnt offering, and the wood was set in order." If we as the Lord's people can remember that in the work of God, the work of this world, that if there is an order of things, and I believe today in the work of God, in that order of things, if a person desires to follow Jesus Christ, if a person desires to hear the gospel preached, if a person desires to know of his salvation, an order of things has already taken place. That God has already visited that person with and by His Spirit. And offering him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. In the second chapter of the Gospel of John, at the first recorded miracle that the Lord ever performed, at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, when He turned the water into wine, when the people there came to His mother and said, and told her, and she said, "Whatever He says, do. Do it." Now, I'd hope today that I'd have enough faith in me to know that the order is already fixed, the order is already placed, it's already right there, and God's going to provide. I'd hope today that I'd have enough faith about me to know and to realize that whatever God says, whatever He says, do it. So after the offering has been made, after the offering is accepted, and we rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe then it befalls us to realize that it's necessary for us as the Lord's people to know that whatever He says, do it. I don't believe that God would ever, in His divine grace and His divine mercy, I don't believe that He'd ever lead one of those that are His astray. He just wouldn't do it. So I believe today that there is an order of things. Notice that He set the wood in order. Here's what happens to us in this life. I believe in this life there's an order of things. And at the same time, one of the problems that we as the world, in the world today, face, I believe in God's order of things there's marriage is between one man and one woman. You can't fix it any other way. So I would hope that as we go about our business today, as we go about our routines, as we go about the business of the kingdom of God, as we go about following God, I would hope that we could remember that in God there's an order of things, and God is going to lead us in His order of things. So I'd hope, because of His order of things, I would hope that we could remember, continually remember, that God makes no mistake, that He don't make any error, that whatever He does stands done forever. So let us remember, and let us always look to Him who is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. And because of His order of things, that we can look with great anticipation to His coming return, and that we're all going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, in His order of things, I don't believe that the Lord is going to ever set foot on this earth anymore. I don't believe He's going to. But I believe in His coming that we're all going to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So let us look to Him who is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. I appreciate your kind attention.
Blessed Jesus, Thee we sing.
It is my